increases granted by the board to various airlines. The CAB also proposed that within 50 days, if no exemptions are filed, the airlines can be permitted to increase coach fares up to 9%. Radio Pakistan reported today that Red China has promised firm support for Pakistan if India decides to launch an attack on that country. Premier Zhou Enlai reportedly accusing India of interfering in the internal affairs of Pakistan, Peking regarding the current strife in East Pakistan as an internal affair. A local comment on this latest development from Dr. Y.L. Wu, professor at the University of San Francisco and a consultant on Far Eastern affairs at the Hoover Institute.
As far as the Chinese are concerned, I would think that this doesn't portend much more than their interest in Pakistan in maintaining and developing their relationship with Pakistan. And I think you should view that not just as a China-Pakistan relationship, but in conjunction with Chinese potential hopes and plans about the Indian Ocean.
Professor Y.L. Wu of the University of San Francisco. This traffic note just into KCBS News Radio. Traffic on the Bay Bridge is stopped, San Francisco bound near the center anchorage. Motorists are advised to use caution on the bridge and expect a 10-minute delay. Tow trucks and police are on the scene. Congressman Bob Wilson of California and four other members of the House Armed Services Committee flew to an American artillery base 200 yards from the Cambodian border today. The San Diego Republican and his fellow House members spent their time at Fire Support Base Happy talking to soldiers about the war. Lieutenant General Michael Davidson accompanied the committee members and told them one of the most important results of the Allied drive into Cambodia last year has been an economic upsurge in the third military region. That area includes Saigon and 11 surrounding provinces. Davidson says the drive improved security in the area, thus opening up roads and commerce. Egyptian officials have rejected Israeli Defense Minister Moshe Dayan's latest Middle East peace proposal. Dayan had suggested a withdrawal of Israeli forces from the Suez Canal, connected with a permanent ceasefire. His proposal also stated that no Soviet or Egyptian troops could cross the canal to fill the void. But Egyptian officials said in Cairo today their military forces must hold positions on the side of the canal now held by Israel, the officials describing Dayan's suggestion as a partial settlement. And meanwhile, in Jordan, the government has reported more guerrilla attacks on northern Jordan villages. Jordan says the attack on two villages near the Syrian border included guerrilla firing from posts across the line in Syria. Some of the unknown facts about a Southern California murder trial are now available in published form. KCBS newsman Bob Donnelly reports.
The Tate LaBianca trial, one of the longest in history, is over. A new book, Witness to Evil, tells the story of that trial. Its author, George Bishop, was given an assigned regular seat in the courtroom throughout the trial. With the full cooperation of the district attorney's office, Bishop was the only outsider present when officials recreated the scene of Charles Manson's capture in Death Valley. He had access to events that occurred in the judge's chambers that are not known to any other reporter or writer. Commenting on the trial, Bishop says it's hard to explain how the tragedy happened.
For anyone to attempt to explain it in a rational manner, I think after being at the trial all this time and being at the pretrial hearings and talking to both defense and prosecution attorneys, I don't think anyone to this day can actually explain how it happened any more than, well, to use a very far out analogy, anyone can explain how Hitler happened.
George Bishop, author of Witness to Evil, the story of the Tate LaBianca murder trial. This is Bob Donnelly.
KCBS News Time, 11:37, and repeating that traffic note, traffic on the Bay Bridge is stopped, San Francisco bound near the center anchorage. Motorists advised to use caution on the bridge and expect a 10-minute delay. Tow trucks and police are on the scene. The federal government, the target of legal action by an ecology group, Don Perlman reports from Chicago.
Uncle Sam is about to be hit with a major anti-pollution suit, but apparently he's known about it for several days. A Chicago civic group, Businessmen for the Public Interest, will file the suit against both the U.S. Environmental Protection Agency and the Army Corps of Engineers. a dozen ecology groups from the four-state Lake Michigan area want an injunction preventing the Corps of Engineers and EPA from issuing any industrial permits for discharging into lakes and waterways unless the industries use only the highest available technical skills in discharging. The suit is based on the Refuse Act of 1899. The chief enforcement officer for the Lake Michigan region of EPA, James McDonald, claims the Refuse Act is the best measure for controlling water pollution.
Well, I don't think there's any question on that, and it's an act that is being used and will be used to a greater and greater extent. We regard it as a very important part of our abatement program.
McDonald would not comment directly on the suit because he says he has not yet seen it. This is Don Perlman in Chicago.
KCBS News Time, 11:39.
Education in Action, a series of programs designed to acquaint you with Bay Area public schools.
I am Dr. Catherine Favors, Director of the Office of Human Relations for the Berkeley Unified School District. A fund of money has been set aside in the Berkeley School District for teachers who need small grants to do the kinds of things they think will make a difference in motivating their students. To get a grant ranging in amounts from $50 to more than $300, a teacher simply states what she wants to do and why. A panel of district staff members decide which hoped-for grants will be awarded. The mini-grant project is in its second year, drawing on an annual allotment from the uncommitted reserve. These are some of the activities supported by this year's crop of awards: carpentry tools and building materials for first graders, ninth graders writing a course of study on drug awareness for sixth graders, a weaving workshop where young pupils build their own looms, publication of a handbook of pointers on job hunting for teenagers, equipment for a junior auto mechanics class in elementary school, tree plantings for a student-created forest behind a school to be used as a nature study site, money to pay professional performers to make personal appearances at school assemblies, furniture to create a parent education center in one of the elementary schools. These and many more experiences are being provided the Berkeley teachers through the mini-grant fund.
Education in Action is heard three times a day in order that you will better understand the educational functions of Bay Area Public Schools.
KCBS News Time, 11:40. Mike Roy's Cooking Thing coming up in 1 minute. First, the influence of vitamin C on the common cold and on other aspects of general well-being is the subject of an informative and highly readable new book. Its title is Vitamin C and the Common Cold. Its author is the Nobel Prize-winning chemist Linus Pauling. In this book, now out in paperback, Linus Pauling explains why he is convinced that vitamin C can help prevent colds. Furthermore, he gives his opinion on other important health questions, including how much vitamin C is necessary for optimum health. What other disorders can it help alleviate or prevent? In this book, you'll find his answers to many other questions raised in recent public controversy over vitamin C in relation to human health and nutrition. Whatever else you may read in 1971, do yourself a favor. Read Linus Pauling's book, Vitamin C and the Common Cold, published by W.H. Freeman and Company. $1.95 wherever paperbacks are sold. And a word of warning to Bay Area motorists, especially on the Bay Bridge. Traffic on the Bay Bridge is stopped, San Francisco bound near the center anchorage. Motorists advised to use caution on the bridge and expect a 10-minute delay. Tow trucks and police are on the scene.
The use of drugs for hyperkinetic children has been the focus of heated controversy. Here are the issues discussed by an expert this week on Drug Scene at 9:37 a.m. and 2:12 and 8:26 p.m. on News Radio 74.
KCBS. Hello, world. Welcome to Mike Roy's Cooking Thing on the CBS Radio Network. I'm Dennis Bracken.
And I'm Mike Roy. Today, garlic bread.
Well, I'll break out a roll of chlorophyll wafers to keep it sociable here, Mike.
Better get the Pam out, too, because we'll be using aluminum foil, and you can turn aluminum foil into a perfect grill every single time if you'll spray it with Pam first.
How's that, Chef?
That's all there is to it. Just spray it with Pam and use it like a grill. But that's only one of the uses of Pam. Pam, you see, is a pure vegetable spray-on coating that stops food from sticking. And the same with the garlic bread when you use the foil as a grill. And you use Pam before you cook, and then the cleanup is a breeze if you want to go to the trouble of reusing the foil. But other dishes you want to throw away or rather keep, you don't want to spoil those.
Oh, we'll throw away the foil, but I'd like to keep a pots and pans.
That's right. So get the big habit. The number one slogan in the cooking world today is, when you pick up a pan, spray it with Pam.
Aye, aye, sir.
Pam, you'll find in the cooking oil section of your favorite food store. It's earned the Good Housekeeping seal. For my friends in New York, Pam is now available at all King Cullen supermarkets.
Garlic bread has become quite the item on the restaurant menu of late, Michael, I've noticed.
That's right. It really is an important thing, and many, many homemakers try to make it. And I have developed a recipe that I think is the best. It includes a little cheese, if you'd like it. Did I lose you?
Well, yes, you did. But I like garlic. It has powerful properties attributed to it, I'm told.
Well, I think that the fresh garlic should be used rather than the powders and the salts, because the moment you start to fool around trying to synthesize the garlic flavor, it loses something, just like a clove of garlic starts to lose flavor from the moment you cut into it. So squeeze the fresh garlic into a quarter of a pound of margarine or butter. It really doesn't make any difference, because the garlic is going to predominate anyway. And let it stand together for an hour. Now take a long loaf of French bread, sourdough if you prefer, cut it lengthwise, and then cut slices almost through to within about a quarter of an inch of the bottom, and then spread it with that garlic butter that you've created.
Where, on the outside or on the inside?
On where you've sliced it. And all the way along. Uh-huh. And then sprinkle it with Parmesan cheese, and then a little paprika, and then put it under the broiler if you desire. Or if you're going to do it at the barbecue, lay the cut side of the bread flush on that foil that's been sprayed with a Pam and put it on the grill. That way, the foil acts as a grill and the cheese gets nice and crusty and nice and brown.
Do you encase it in the foil, Mike?
You can encase it in the foil or just lay it right on the foil grill. You can do two sides at one time if you'll put them round to round, and both sides of the bread will then work like a grill. But whatever it is, it's great munching, and have plenty of parsley around because you'll need it. And as I keep telling you, Denny, there's no such thing as a little bit of garlic, just like there's no such a thing as being a little bit pregnant.
We have just the compliment now for the garlic bread swinging soup.
Today, team up your children's favorite sandwich with one of their favorite soups, Campbell's Chicken Noodle. They love the tender bites of chicken, the enriched egg noodles, and that good chicken flavor. And soup gets a cold sandwich off to a good hot start. Mmm, good.
That's what Campbell's soups are.
Mmm,
good.
Mike, what's on your mind in the menu for tomorrow?
Tomorrow, we'll poach a fish.
This is Dennis Bracken with an invitation to your taste buds to poach on Mike Roy's Cooking Thing daily on the CBS Radio Network.
And this is KCBS News Radio 74 with all the news when you want it. I'm Clancy Cassell. John Matroni is at the editor's desk, and these are the headline stories at 11:46. Washington, the results of a study prepared for a White House youth conference indicate that young people do not agree that everyone has a chance to get ahead in this country. Gardena, two 17-year-old high school boys are claiming to have shattered the world record of 124 hours on a teeter-totter. Washington, President Nixon has announced a $1 million program to draw disadvantaged Vietnam veterans into jobs and education. Details in 30 seconds.
That day is April 17th. The Chicago Cubs and San Francisco Giants at Candlestick Park. All you kids will want to be there to receive your free autographed Little League bat. Dick Dietz will be doing the catching for the Giants that day.
Juan, we're really looking forward to having a large crowd out there. I remember last year we had a good crowd, and you like to have those kids there screaming for the Giants, and we just look forward to having them out there and have a capacity crowd.
KCBS News Time, 11:47, a reminder that San Francisco-bound motorists are having a pretty rough time on the Bay Bridge at this hour. There's been an accident on the westbound lanes 3 and 4. The Highway Patrol doesn't know just how serious it is right now or how long before the traffic will flow normally. One lane is open, but it's slow going. That accident occurred at 11:20. Motorists are advised to use caution on the bridge and expect about a 10-minute delay. Tow trucks and police are on the scene. We'll keep you informed. KCBS News Time, 11:47. A study prepared for the White House Conference on Youth indicates that less than half the nation's young believe in the so-called American Dream. Only 39% of about 6,000 young people between the ages of 14 and 24 agreeing with the questionnaire statement, everyone has a chance to get ahead in this country. Now, the study is part of a 10 task force report prepared for the conference next week, which was called by President Nixon in Estes Park, Colorado, to consider problems of the nation's young. The Task Force on Employment and Economy says one of the first items of business will be to call for an immediate withdrawal by the United States from the Indochina conflict. There will be other reports from task forces, including foreign relations, diplomatic relations, drugs, and poverty. And Sacramento State Assemblyman Robert Burke says the time permitted for a woman to have a legal abortion should be cut in half. The Huntington Beach Republican says he'll introduce a package of legislature allowing abortions only up to the 10th week of pregnancy. Presently, a pregnancy can be terminated by abortion up to the 20th week. Burke says his shorter limits, still as he puts it, will permit any pregnant woman who needs an abortion to obtain one unless, of course, she finds it difficult to make up her mind. His bills would be major revisions to the Therapeutic Abortion Act of 1967. Pitt River Indians, who invited arrest last year when they trespassed on PG&E property in Northern California, go on trial today in Sacramento. Grace Thorpe says she's confident they'll win the battle, but she's concerned over the health of the group's attorney, Aubrey Grossman.
Grossman, of course, is overworked. There's 35 people that are on trial, you know, that starts this morning, but there are about 150 altogether that the poor man is trying to, you know, trying to handle. And we just plain need more lawyers. And I'm going to be trying, with friends of mine, trying to raise enough money to hire my own, you know, separate counsel.
At issue in the case is an old tribal claim to the land under federal treaties, which Grossman hopes to use to win dismissal of the trespass charges and create a legal precedent for further proceedings. And now for a report on a developing story, here's KCBS newsman Art Hennis.
A Chinese attorney, a black assistant teacher, an Oriental GI, and a black muni worker are typical of those who have testified before a House subcommittee hearing headed by Democratic Congressman Augustus Hawkins of California. These hearings are underway at the Federal Building in San Francisco on the success or failure of anti-poverty efforts in the Bay Area. There are a few spectators, a few reporters, and lots of statistics, all designed to make clear the complex world of the poverty-stricken, trying to avail themselves of aid in an elaborate and sometimes confusing welter of federal and other anti-poverty agencies. Congressman Hawkins is especially interested in vocational training, which can help the underprivileged out of the welfare maze and into jobs. Mayor Alioto submitted written testimony in regard to San Francisco's coordinated anti-poverty efforts. This is Art Hennis reporting from the Federal Building.
KCBS News Time, 11:51, and time for us now to switch to the floor of the Pacific Coast Stock Exchange in this report from KCBS financial editor Ray Hutchinson.
The market generally, Clancy, is continuing to pursue that American dream that you mentioned a few moments ago, still pressing higher. Are most stocks in active trading. Advancing issues lead decliners by about 8 to 5. The Dow Jones averages show 30 industrials at 926.08, up 5.69. Transportation up 2.52. Utilities up 0.10. 65 stocks up 2.14. The New York Stock Exchange Index at 230, 56.71, up 0.38. The market up 30 cents right now, and volume at this moment, 16,560,000 shares. The most active issue on the big board, Pan Am at 17 and 3 quarters, up 1 point. Bausch & Lomb reached a new 1971 high today of 93, up 4 points. It's trading at this moment at 92 and 3 quarters, up 3 and 3 quarters, as it continues to reflect investor enthusiasm over its soft contact lens, approved last month by the FDA. Libby Owens Ford is up 1.5 to 49 and 3/8 after reporting sharply higher first quarter profits. And in San Mateo today, URS Systems Corporation announced completion of the acquisition of John A. Bloom Company, the San Francisco-based engineering and research firm, for 415,000 shares of common stock. URS on the Amex is trading at 8 5/8, up 1/8. I'll be back with my next report 30 minutes from now. Ray Hutchinson from the Pacific Coast Stock Exchange.
KCBS News Time, 11:52.
What do you come to Palm Springs for? Sunshine. So I believe in getting my share, you know? An extra hour of sunshine every day.
How do you do that?
By staying at the Erewhon Garden Hotel.
Where's that?
Just a hop, skip, and a jump from downtown Palm Springs. Out where the golf courses are. Well, you know, Indian Wells, where the Bob Hope Desert Classic is held. There are 8 golf courses around the Erewhon.
Nice place?
The greatest. The Erewhon is one of the newest places around.
Food?
Gourmet, wonderful, and 8 golf courses.
I like tennis.
They've got tennis.
I like swimming.
They've got swimming, plus a hot therapy pool and sauna baths.
Sounds like they've got everything.
And it's just minutes from downtown Palm Springs. When the sun goes behind the mountain at 3 p.m. in most places, it shines till 4 p.m. at the Erewhon. An extra hour of sunshine every day.
How come you're such a booster for the Erewhon?
I'm the manager.
To make your reservations for the Erewhon Garden Hotel near Palm Springs, call 771-1200 for that extra hour of sunshine every day. Stay at the Erewhon. Call 771-1200.
Student Rail Pass. To find out what it is, listen to Tupi on Travel today at 12:27 and 9:38 p.m. on
KCBS. Fair skies in the Bay Area today, except for some high cloudiness at times, increasing tonight and tomorrow. The highs between the 60s and low 70s. Tonight's lows in the upper 40s and low 50s with westerly afternoon winds.
Knudsen makes a 100% Valencia orange juice from concentrate that's the pick of the crop of 2 great Valencias. California Valencia juice, famous for flavor and color, and Florida Valencia concentrate, famous for sweetness and aroma. No sugar added, no preservatives. And the vitamin C content of an 8-ounce glass is twice the minimum adult daily requirement. Knudsen orange juice from concentrate. The 100% Valencia orange juice that's so good, it's worth waking up for.
KCBS News Time, 11:54. And it's back to school today for a couple of Southern California boys who've had their ups and downs this Easter vacation. Fred Kratz reports from Los Angeles.
2 Gardena, California high school students now hold the world's teeter-totter record. John Adam and Donald Ball have shattered the previous world mark of 124 hours. The boys have a specially made carpeted teeter-totter and a telephone.
We could go a lot longer. We'd go a few more days, but we got to go to school.
Ball's partner at the other end of the board is Donald Ball, who seemingly gets tired of everybody pushing food on him.
Cramming, we eat everything. People bring us food constantly. They always think we're hungry, but we're not, because we're not doing that much.
Paul is keeping a sociological watch on his visitors.
They always ask, how do we go in the bathroom? And they say, why are you doing it? And then they always use the same joke of, I guess you have your ups and downs. And the same joke when they're walking away, they always say, well, don't go anywhere. Things like that, you know, after 5 days, they get old hat.
Okay, we'll play the fearless reporter and ask the big question. Mr. Ball, how do you go to the bathroom?
Most asked question ever. We can't get off to do that, but the time we'll take off to go to the bathroom is deducted from the total time on the teeter-totter.
2 boys on a board. This is Fred Kratz in Los Angeles.
KCBS News Time, 11:56.
KCBS News Radio, File 74.
This is informational report number 28 on File 74. Prompted by previous inquiries of a medical nature and precipitated by the lead article in the consumer newsletter Money's Worth. File 74 has refused to become embroiled in arguments over the quality of medical care and has referred listeners' questions on the subject to qualified authorities. However, for those who have been asking about the truth and rumors they've been hearing, we recommend Money's Worth's story titled Drug Combinations That Can Kill You. It begins with the tale of a man who was taking a frequently prescribed antidepressant drug, and one day, when he ate some aged cheese, the combination killed him. It reminds us of well-known public figures who died from combinations of sedatives and alcohol. The article goes on to point out that there are over 7,000 drugs generally available, and many doctors are not aware of their incompatibilities, the way one drug acts on the other and the way the resulting combination acts on you. 70% of the drugs now on the market were not available 15 years ago. And Money's Worth claims that too many doctors rely on drug companies and their advertisements for their information. Aspirin, we're told, should be avoided by people taking anticoagulants, as well as by people with diabetes. Patients taking oral diuretics should avoid licorice. Those using antibacterial agents like tetracyclines should stay away from milk and other dairy products. And of course, there is the patient himself. As one professor of pharmacology put it, as many as half of all patients are probably incapable of following directions. Now, obviously, this is a subject for an expert. File 74 simply hopes to alert you to a growing problem. What you should do now is ask your physician about the drug he's prescribing for you. Ask him if there are any foods you should avoid, and make sure to tell him about any and all drugs you are now taking. This is Fred Wilcox with informational report number 28.
KCBS News Radio, File 74.
KCBS News Time, 11:58.
I'm home. What's for dinner?
Vandekamp's fish and chips frozen. You'll love it.
Yeah, maybe, but I'm not going to eat it.
It's different.
I sure picked a bad night to come home.
It's Vandekamp's. Bigger fish fillets dipped one by one in a fresh egg and milk batter.
Yeah.
Chubbier chips.
Chubby chips?
See, you love it.
Mm. That's pretty good, dear. Mm-hmm. Delicious.
Vandekamp's frozen French fried fish and chips. We don't compromise when we make it, so you don't have to apologize when you serve it.
Vandekamp's. The weather right after this from KTVU-TV.
That was Los Angeles. They're going to send us some film on the fire they had out this morning.
You think that's going to be any bigger than the Alioto story at all?
I don't really think it is. Alioto's going.
They may not always show it, but they are just as moved by the news as you are.
Oh, man. They found that girl that's been missing.
Yeah.
She's dead.
The Tuck and Fortner reports every weeknight at 10 on Channel 2. It's only human.
Fair skies in the Bay Area today, generally, but some high cloudiness at times, increasing tonight and tomorrow. The highs today in the 60s and low 70s. Tonight's lows in the upper 40s and low 50s. Westerly afternoon winds, currently 67 degrees in downtown San Francisco.
This is KCBS San Francisco, where the news is new all the time. Around the clock, around the world, on News Radio 74.
Thank you, Clancy, and good afternoon. These are the 12 o'clock headlines. New Delhi, Red China, reportedly gives a promise to Pakistan that it will support the Pakistanis if India should attack. Moscow, Premier Kosygin calls in both the Indian and Pakistani ambassadors. Tel Aviv, an Israeli source, says the Russians have given Egypt a new type aircraft. No details given out. San Francisco, a cab driver outwits a holdup man. Palo Alto, another black caucus rally, but no violence this time. KCBS News Time is 12 noon.
CBS News, Douglas Edwards reporting on the CBS Radio Network. A West Point graduate who was a conscientious objector to the Vietnam War won an honorable discharge from the Army today. Bruce Morton has the story in Fort Meade, Maryland.
Shortly after noon, Lieutenant Louis Font, West Point graduate and once a man who wanted the Army as his career, signed the last paper, collected an honorable discharge and a certificate of appreciation, and became a mister. Font had asked the Army to discharge him as a conscientious objector. In the subsequent wrangle, he brought charges against his superiors. They brought charges against him. Font could have served 25 years in jail, but now all charges have been dropped. Font has been a leader of the Concerned Officers Movement, an anti-war group of active duty officers. He said today he wants to continue that work and to help GIs in trouble, as Font feels he was with punitive Army regulations. I asked if he'd become a pacifist. I'm getting closer to that, he said, but when I think of the American Revolution, that it would have been hard not to take an active role. Font now thinks the country has to be reformed before a military career can be worthwhile again. Bruce Morton, CBS News, Fort Meade, Maryland.
February's draft call for dentists canceled. Details in a minute.
Ladies and gentlemen, this is John Wayne. One thing is for sure. No one likes to talk about cancer or even to think about it. But the simple fact is, if you want to guard your life against it, you ought to. The more you know, the better your chances for cure if the disease should strike. See your doctor once a year for a checkup. Yearly checkups are your best cancer insurance. For more information or for a free booklet of life-saving facts, get in touch with your American Cancer Society. One other thing, help get rid of this disease for good. A lot of progress has been made in cancer research these past few years. Lives are being saved from cancer that would have been lost, say, 10 years ago. This progress has to continue, and our help is needed. Soon an American Cancer Society volunteer will be calling on you. Please be especially generous. Just remember, fight cancer with a checkup and a check to your American Cancer Society.
The Defense Department has canceled its February draft call for 536 dentists, deciding instead to wait and see if the current crop of dental school graduates will volunteer to meet current service needs. Draft Director Curtis Tarr, announcing the cancellation, said it would annul induction orders already issued to dentists under that call.
He added that if there were not enough dentist volunteers by summertime, a special draft call for dentists only will be needed. President Nixon has announced implementation of a $1 million program to help low-income Vietnam veterans secure all their rights and benefits. Cornerstone of the 14-month project is the Office of Economic Opportunity, which is providing the $1 million grant. The OEO will work with the nation's communities to help the veteran obtain needed training benefits. Initial target areas of the program are Los Angeles, Detroit, Cleveland, Chicago, and Indianapolis. Democratic Senator Fred Harris of Oklahoma says he will introduce a resolution in the Senate calling for imposition of an international arms embargo on Pakistan. Harris says he will take that action when the Senate reconvenes April 19th following its Easter recess. The Civil Aeronautics Board today announced a 6% fare hike on domestic runs, effective immediately. A second hike of up to 9% on coach flights also won tentative CAB approval, though there are 50 days for interested parties to register objections. The CAB has been conducting a general investigation of the airline fare structure. Today's action was greeted with enthusiasm by the airline industry. The United States is keeping a close watch on Soviet arms shipments to Egypt to determine their effect on the balance of power in that sensitive region. At a State Department news conference today, spokesman Charles Bray read a statement implicitly critical of Israel's cautious attitude toward Egypt's recent peace proposals. The statement implied that inaction by the Israelis had prompted the Russians to send more arms to Cairo. On Wall Street, the Dow Jones average up 6.04 in active trading to this hour. More in a moment.
I'm Charles Osgood for Profile, heard every Monday through Friday on the CBS Radio Network. On Profile, we try to bring you a cross-section of current news events. Recently, we looked into Russian infiltration of the Jewish Defense League here in New York. Then we spoke of a church in North Carolina, the members of which were all geared up for the end of the world. But alas, it never came to pass. Not yet. There was the story of Salty, a dog who was exiled, sent from her home in Detroit to a farm in Wisconsin for being too friendly. Salty was a courageous girl, however, and escaped, and then traveled some 300 miles across the snowy terrain back to her home. You'll hear about many different and interesting things on Profile. Listen for us every weekday on the CBS Radio Network. Also, listen for the Midday Report and Correspondence Report from CBS News, keeping you up to date on important world and national developments. You'll find good listening weekdays and weekends on the CBS Radio Network, where what you want to know comes first.
Informed sources in Moscow say that more than 1,000 Soviet Jews were given permission to leave Russia for Israel during the month of March, that figure exceeding the total number of Jews allowed to emigrate in all of 1970. The sudden, lenient approach of the Soviet government is seen by observers as being tied to the Soviet Communist Party Congress just ended. The question now is whether the increased rate of Jewish emigration will continue. Douglas Edwards, CBS News.
Planning a trip? Then let Tupi chart your course. Tupi on travel in 20 minutes on News Radio 74.
KCBS.
And good afternoon from downtown San Francisco. It's another fine day. Rather warm. Let's see, what is it? Oh, it's about 60 degrees here, 58 in Oakland, 68 in San Jose. The weatherman says he expects the clouds to come in sometime tonight, but he's not yet forecasting rain for this area. So we'll be along with our lead story in just a moment.
You deserve dinner out at a copper penny tonight. Why? Because dinner out can be a very special event, especially during April, when copper penny features a veritable Caesar's feast for just $1.99. Imagine veal parmesan, lightly browned under a delicate slice of melted cheese, served with spaghetti smothered in thick homemade sauce. It includes a generous tossed salad, roll and butter, coffee, tea, or milk, and even a choice of ice cream, sherbet, or jello for dessert. All for $1.99. For that price, you can afford to feed the whole family. And Copper Penny puts out a special welcome for families who dine out together. So come on in. Bring the family. And remember, Rome wasn't built in a day. So take your time conquering the whole feast tonight.
Yes, try Copper Penny's Roman Feast at 39222 Fremont Boulevard in Fremont, 1901 Mendocino Avenue in Santa Rosa, and 790 West Winton Avenue in Hayward. Good afternoon, Don Mosley here. Our lead story is concerning East Bay politics, and let's call in live George McManus.
The mayor-elect of Berkeley says he will ask both the Secretary of State and the state legislature to investigate the recent election. Warren Widener says the manner in which the ballots were counted was an insult to the voters. Widener told me that the ballots should have been counted in the most public place possible. He feels many voters were so discouraged when they found out that the count would be in the police department basement that they simply did not go to vote. Widener also said, since the police department was the biggest issue in the campaign, it was most unsatisfactory to have ballots counted in the police basement. The new 33-year-old mayor also believes the city manager and the police chief will leave their posts when he takes office sometime in May. George McManus, Berkeley.
KCBS News Time, 12:08. Tula Henley, the belly dancing art patroness, raised more than $1,900 for charity with a happening that included nude body painting last night. Nearly 800 persons attended the event at the Family Dog Rock Music Hall. Tulu was clad in a bare midriff metallic outfit. Proceeds from Sunday night's event went to the financially troubled Visual Arts Center for underprivileged children. An escape at an East Bay detention center. The story from KCBS newsman Al Helmzo.
A search is underway for four men who escaped from the Alameda County Prison Facility at Santa Rita. Sheriff's deputies say the quartet cut through a stucco wall in the medium security section of the prison and made their way to freedom through a heater room. At large are 22-year-old David Acosta and 36-year-old Edward McKinney of Oakland, 22-year-old Leon Gray of the San Joaquin area, and 23-year-old Dennis Casillas of Hayward. All four escapees were awaiting sentencing, Gray for robbery, the other three for a variety of offenses, including narcotics violations. Al Helmso, Oakland.
A cab driver who correctly analyzed the intelligence, or lack of it, on the part of a holdup man is the hero of the police file today. From the Hall of Justice, we hear KCBS newsman George McManus.
There's got to be a lot of morals in this next story, but we'll leave them up to you. Cab driver Bill Smalling decided to foil a holdup early this morning after dropping off one of the suspects at the Northern District Police Station. Here's the box score. Man enters cab. Another pushes rifle through window, demanding money. Smalling tosses earnings out of cab. While man tries to scoop it up, Smalling tries to run him down. Suspect gets away, but cabbie takes passenger, believed to be setup man, to the police. Then cabbie returns, finds the man without the rifle. Cabbie engages in conversation, asks if he can see the rifle. Suspect says, okay. Cabbie grabs it, turns it on the holdup man. Final box score, two arrests, money back. Bill Smalling is a hero, and after a story like that, please permit that old cliche, crime does not pay. George McManus at the San Francisco Hall of Justice.
That's a good phrase, George. We'll write that down. KCBS News Time, 12:10. Now news and analysis. The future of the nation's newspapers. Here's KCBS News Director Jim Simon.
Tomorrow at Washington Shoreham Hotel, representatives of the 10th biggest business in America sit down together to discuss the problems and potential of the industry. Most Americans don't realize it, but that 10th largest industry is the newspaper business. Many a consumer has long ago counted newspapers out as a method for getting the news. Well, that's a short-sighted view. Business was good in 1970, and it'll be better than that in 1971. In fact, a 4% per year growth rate is projected for the five-year period between 1970 and 1975. Of course, there are problems. Increased wage demands have forced newspapers to lay off plenty of help. The behemoth New York Times trimmed its payroll by 300 recently. And of course, the press is being attacked by numerous government sources, and surveys reveal that a healthy section of the public agrees that newsmen need to be criticized. In fact, many politicians believe that they can score heavily by whipping the press. But if you look at the profit and loss ledger, you'll find that one of the big expenses when it comes to newspapers is the distribution process. 8 to 10% of the cost going for delivering your newspaper. One solution is this. Newspapers can use cable television. Readers can scan their papers on the home screen and then selectively order in-depth stories of the most appealing headlines. What will emerge, says Ben Bagdikian of the Washington Post, is a more carefully selected daily package that concentrates on unique products unavailable elsewhere. It won't be easy, but newspapers will have to decide whether they are printing factories or analysts of daily political and social information. So says Bagdikian of the Post. This is Jim Simon.
KCBS News Time, 12:12. We'll turn to sports after this.
T.R.
Dateline East Bay. How can we protect our birds and wildlife from future ecological disaster?
Thousands of birds have died in our polluted waters. We must take action to save our bay.
B-U-N-E. Tribune spells concern. The Oakland Tribune, more than a newspaper.
Tribune spells gardening, too. Sunday, the Spring Garden Show issue of California Magazine brings readers all the simple beauty and elegance of the Oriental Garden. It's something special from your Oakland Tribune. Well, in sports, it's a beautiful day for the baseball fans, and here's KCBS Sports Director Don Klein to tell us about it.
The Giants are home today, their Candlestick Park opener, in a stadium that's smaller but cleaner, brighter, more comfortable, and easier on the women's nylons. That's the report from Candlestick, where the current renovation has done away with all but 34,000 seats, bright red and orange plastic seats, replacing the old wooden ones that ruined more than a few women's stockings in recent years. That swirling dust blowing off the infield is a thing of the past, too. The base paths have been carpeted over with astroturf, leaving only the mound and small areas around each base covered with dirt. For the first night game, tomorrow night, there's an added tower with 1,100 new lights and triple the intensity of the old. Construction on the superstructure for the continuous upper deck has begun, that portion of the stadium not to be completed until the spring of 1973. But just in case the Giants continue to win 4 out of 6 games, just in case they're still playing after the regular season is over, well, there'll be some additional 5,000 seats usable, plus another 2,200 in the right field movable stands, which would bring the seating to 42,000. Charlie Fox and his men are not as concerned about that, though, as they are getting a victory out of Gaylord Perry today in the opener against San Diego. This is Don Klein.
The Oakland Athletics are getting two new pitchers today, and they certainly need them. Ron Klimkowski and Rob Gardner, obtained from the New York Yankees for fielder Felipe Alou, will be in Oakland's stable as the Athletics play the Brewers in Milwaukee, and they may get a chance to work right away. Yesterday, the Kansas City Royals collected 15 blows off 4 Oakland pitchers and won 10-5. A final note in sports, former Major League first baseman Dick Stewart, who often was criticized for his poor fielding, says that he was one of the first ball players to use drugs. Says Stewart, "I injected my glove 5 times, but it died of palsy." And that's sports.
Oh, hi.
Hello.
I've got my ticket here, somewhere. Oh, here it is, Las Vegas.
That's fine, sir. You do look a little out of breath, though.
I am. It took me 45 minutes to get here from Menlo Park. Do you know where Menlo Park is? Way down the peninsula. That's one heck of a long ride, and I have to do it once or twice a month.
Sir, I hate to tell you this, but Hughes Air West flies out of San Jose Airport, too.
To Las Vegas?
Yes, sir.
The same Hughes Air West jets that leave from here?
Yes, sir. In fact, we leave from all 3 Bay Area airports, San Jose,
oh, yeah?
Oakland, and from here, San Francisco, with jets leaving for Las Vegas every day.
You leave from San Jose from my airport?
Yes, sir.
Why didn't somebody tell me?
But, sir, I just did.
Oh.
Only Hughes Air West jets to Las Vegas from all 3 Bay Area airports, San Francisco, Oakland, and San Jose.